Plotting a Coup. Jobs was not good at taking no for an answer. He went to Scully's office in early May 1985 and asked for more time to show that he could manage the McIntosh division. He would prove himself as an operations guy, he promised. Scully didn't back down. Jobs next tried a direct challenge. He asked Scully to resign. "I think you really lost your stride," Jobs told him. "You were really great the first year and everything went wonderful, but something happened." Scully, who generally was even-tempered, lashed back, pointing out that Jobs had been unable to get the McIntosh software developed, come up with new models, or win customers. The meeting degenerated into a shouting match about who was the worst manager. After Jobs stalked out, Scully turned away from the glass wall of his office, where others had been looking in on the meeting, and wept. Matters began to come to a head on Tuesday, May 14th, when the McIntosh team made its quarterly review presentation to Scully and other Apple corporate leaders. Jobs still had not relinquished control of the division, and he was defiant when he arrived in the corporate boardroom with his team. He and Scully began by clashing over what the division's mission was. Jobs said it was to sell more Macintosh machines. Scully said it was to serve the interests of the Apple company as a whole. As usual, there was little cooperation among the divisions. For one thing, the Macintosh team was planning new disk drives that were different from those being developed by the Apple II division. The debate, according to the minutes, took a full hour. Jobs then described the projects underway: a more powerful Mac, which would take the place of the discontinued Lisa, and software called File Server, which would allow Macintosh users to share files on a network. Scully learned for the first time that these projects were going to be late. He gave a cold critique of Murray's marketing record, Belleville's missed engineering deadlines, and Jobs's overall management. Despite all this, Jobs ended the meeting with a plea to Scully, in front of all the others there, to be given one more chance to prove he could run a division. Scully refused. That night, Jobs took his Macintosh team out to dinner at Nina's Cafe in Woodside. Jean-Louis Gasset was in town because Scully wanted him to prepare to take over the Macintosh division, and Jobs invited him to join them. Belleville proposed a toast: "To those of us who really understand what the world according to Steve Jobs is all about." That phrase, "the world according to Steve," had been used dismissively by others at Apple who belittled the reality warp he created. After the others left, Belleville sat with Jobs in his Mercedes and urged him to organize a battle to the death with Scully. Months earlier, Apple had gotten the right to export computers to China, and Jobs had been invited to sign a deal in the Great Hall of the People over the 1985 Memorial Day weekend. He had told Scully, who decided he wanted to go himself, which was just fine with Jobs. Jobs decided to use Scully's absence to execute his coup. Throughout the week leading up to Memorial Day, he took a lot of people on walks to share his plans. "I'm going to launch a coup while John is in China," he told Mike Murray.